The topic of this audio is threes. The number three, all things that have to do with threes. Specifically, I'm going to talk about the three personalities of God, the Godhead. One of the three is a number. It's one of four numbers that are what I call perfect God numbers. Three, 7, 10, and 12. The number 3 signifies perfection, completion, strength. To give you an example would be a knee brace in construction, the small piece of wood that goes between the horizontal, main horizontal piece and the main vertical post. You have what's called a knee brace that forms a triangle. And a triangle in construction is the strongest form that you can have. Rectangles, rack, and yaw. But a triangle doesn't. Now, the three that I apply here to the three personalities of the Godhead, in Genesis 1:26, it says God is speaking, and that word God there is Elohim, E-L-O-H-I-M, Hebrew word Elohim. And anytime you see the suffix I-M on the end of a word, it means plural. So it's there, it says, gods said, let us create man in our image. Well, us and the our are plural. Thus, the word God, or Elohim, is translated into English as God, which that's what has led to a lot of confusion. Whenever you see, in the Old Testament particularly, whenever you see the Lord, your God, well, the Lord there is in L-O-R-D, is all in caps. Well, that word in Hebrew is, in Hebrew language, there were no, there's only consonants, there were no vowels. So it was Y-H-W-H. Later pronounced Yahweh, probably irreligiously so, but nonetheless, that's what it was. The Lord, L-O-R-D in caps, is Y-H-W-H, Yahweh, from which there was an aberration, while I'm talking about it, there was an aberration in the medieval times from the Catholic Church to convert Yahweh to Jehovah, J-E-H-O-V-A-H. Well, that's an invented word, just like the word church is invented. It was invented during medieval time by the Catholic Church, primarily for political and power purposes. But I digress. In Genesis 1:26, God said, or Elohim said, let us create man in our image. Well, our was plural, and we'll get to that later, but by and large, Adam then was a tripartite being, just like Elohim. He had a body, and he had a soul, and he had a spirit, just like Elohim does. Now, one of these things that I have come up with, and it's not a strange doctrine, it's just as obvious as nose on your face. When you're talking, Hebrew talks about this, when you're talking about God and you're talking about the heavens, you will find as you examine Scripture that these are three different dimensions, three different states of being. They're three different realms, a realm being an order of things in which there's a given rule or set of rules. So, to explain it another way, you, the listener, you have a physical body. It is a different state or different dimension, different realm, different rules govern your physical body. But you, the listener, also have a mind or a soul, which is comprised of the mind, will, and emotion, the thinking mind, the subconscious, in which are the emotions and long-term memories and so forth and so on, and the will. But those are, that's a different realm, but it nonetheless is part of your overall personality. You, the listener, also have a spirit which cannot be touched. It cannot be even conceived of mentally. It is down there below the subconscious. It neither thinks nor does it speak. But nonetheless, it is a part of your personality. People detect your spirit. When you walk in the room, they see your body. They hear you talking your thoughts. But they also sense your spirit. Now, those three parts of you is what I'm trying to get across here, that God, the Elohim, who was consisted of three different realms, three different personalities, three different dimensions, created Adam in his image. Now, just as you, the listener, have a body, soul, and spirit, you are one. You're walking up and down the hallway as one package. Well, so it is with God. Often it's called the Godhead, but nonetheless, that's where we are. The body of God, the physical body of God, is Jesus the Son. The soul of the Godhead is the thinking, emoting, creating portion of the Godhead, and that is the Father, the governing, the authority. Your mind literally controls your physical body. It also influences your spirit. Now, then you have the third part of you, third realm, third dimension, third personality. You have a spirit, and that is the Holy Spirit within the Elohim or the Godhead. Further explanation. You have the physical. It is visible and comprehensible by the human, by the mind. It's distinguishable. The soul is invisible. Your thinking is invisible, but it is also comprehensible. You can comprehend your thoughts and the things that go through your mind. But the spiritual is down another level of dimension or realm. It is also invisible, but it's incomprehensible by the mind. So we have these three realms. They make up the three personalities of the Godhead. Now, the way by which I came to this understanding was the Mosaic Tabernacle in the Exodus with God's first created people of his own, and that was the Israelites under Abraham. It had three portions. It was one thing called a tabernacle or a tent or a dwelling place of God. It was in the middle of the four camps of three tribes each, make up 12 tribes. The tabernacle was in the midst of all 12 tribes. That is a picture of how God dwells in our midst, in the middle of us. Now, the Mosaic Tabernacle was comprised of three portions: the outer court, the holy place, and the Holy of Holies. The outer court was the whole thing, the whole tabernacle was circumscribed by a linen wall to make it one, as sort of like our skin goes around our physical body, around our mind, and around our spirit. Well, it had a linen wall around the whole thing. It was comprised of three portions within that linen wall. One was the outer court, which was open to the air. It had within it the brazen altar, first thing you saw when you went in, and then the second thing was a brazen laver, which had water in it, laver meaning wash. Then you had two portions within the overall Mosaic Tabernacle that were covered by goat skins and various other things. The first one that you went into out of the outer court was called the Holy Place. It was covered. It had, as you walked in from the outer court, as you walked through the curtain, you saw a table right straight in front of you that was higher than any other piece of furniture in that holy place. It was called the Table of Incense. Incense is a metaphor for prayer of the saints. As you walked in, you saw the Table of Incense in front of you. There was a light shining on it from your left, its right. So your eyes would fall over to the left, and you would see a golden lampstand of seven different arms And that light was shining straight ahead, and then you looked to the place where it was shining, which was straight across the room. And that was the table of showbread. Now, these three pieces of furniture were emblematic of three personalities of the Godhead of Elohim. The table of incense that you saw in front represented the Holy Spirit, by the way it was constructed, and the incense that was on top of it. The golden lampstand was to the left. It was comprised of gold. It had light. It had oil, all of which speak of Jesus the Son. Light, oil, etc., etc. Many other things that you can see. Kevin O'Connor, a New Zealandite, wrote a wonderful book on the Tabernacle of Moses, which I recommend that you get and study. The table of showbread was across the room, and it was a table that had primarily had 12 loaves on it, representing the 12 tribes of Israel. 12 is a number in Hebrew numerology that signifies authority or order. You have the 12 tribes of Israel. You have the 12, 12, 12 throughout the Bible. Even the Revelation, you see the number 12 repeated time and time again. Now, when I saw, this was back in the early 80s, what I saw there, and as I probed the rest of the Word, the rest of Scripture, both Old Testament and New, I began to see how these personalities of the Godhead in the holy place were exposed to us or revealed to us, for want of a better word. And all I can do is go through them quickly, and just, it's almost off the top of my head. It's one of my favorite, it is my favorite subject. But this is what I came to understand. In these realms, just like in our human body, that which you see and you can touch, you can feel, you can hear, that is detected by physical means, is Jesus himself. It talks about the creation. Everything that was made was not made, but it was made through him, by him. You see him in the Old Testament, for example. He had, according to Dake, had some 44 appearances of this physical part of the Godhead. I haven't gone through all of them, but some of the more prevalent ones, of which I'm sure you should be aware at least, talks about in Hebrew, and that is when the rock was in the wilderness and God told Moses to strike it, and it would give up water. Well, it talks about Hebrew that that was Jesus, the supernatural rock that followed them all throughout the wilderness. Then Moses was told by God to speak to the rock, and he made a mistake and hit it. He was mad. But everything, as I understand it, everything that is physical, and I'm looking at a picture of the Gros Ventre Mountains, out there this past summer with my son-in-law in western Wyoming, eastern Idaho, beautiful range of mountains where Yellowstone is, Jackson Hole, and that sort of thing. But all things physical, everything in the universe, what we are physically as bodies, that sort of thing is literally, naturally speaking, now, I'm not talking about something that man has invented, made up out of different materials. I'm talking about everything that is natural was made through Jesus. It was Jesus. It was God expressing himself. Jesus was a tree in the middle of the garden. He appeared many times in different physical form, but wherever you see. That's why when I go for a walk in the woods, it cleanses me. And I'll tell you why. It will cleanse you. because everything that's in nature that is natural, Jesus is in it. It's as it should be. A gum tree is as it should be. It has its little 5-petal leaf on it. The water is as it should be. The trees or bark is as they should be. The rocks are as they should be. And when I go for a walk, those many, many years, thousands and thousands of miles, little did I realize that I was walking with the Lamb. I was walking His realm and His expression. And that's why it was so wonderful and had such a lasting effect. Still does. So then we jump, we jump realms into that which is, let me back up a little bit. Jesus and everything that has to do with Him, this is what's called what I call the Son's nature, is earthy. It's natural. It's everything physical as it should be. And you will find people in your life that have what I call the Son's nature. They will be earthy people. Jesus, for example, when He healed a blind man, what did He do? He spit on the ground and took His finger and mixed the spit with the clay or the dust that was on the ground, and He made a poultice. Now that's earthy. And He put it on the man's eyes. Well, probably the man was arrogant. And that literally was something that God wanted to do, to show him that I can work through anything. I can work through spit and clay. But now that turns the other people off. But nonetheless, here we go. The second nature is the... I'm going to get to the Holy Spirit last. But the second nature is what I call the Father nature, and that is the mental part. It's the part that has order and regulates and keeps control of and makes sure things work. It's what directs. That's why the 12 loaves. Government. Your mind governs your entire being, rightly or wrongly, but nonetheless it governs it. So when I see anything that is mental, emotional, so forth and so on, order, control, authority, excellence, there's a whole bunch of adjectives that describe God the Father. But it basically is that which is the soul realm of the holy place, represented by the table of showbread. We get to the third personality of the Godhead, and that is the Holy Spirit, represented in the holy place by the table of altar of incense. All of the elements that go together with making up the altar of incense represent the Holy Spirit, and you can see that throughout Scripture. He brooded over the creation, and that word brood has a Hebrew meaning to it that needs to be checked out. In other words, He brooded over the waters, as it says. Well, everything that is of the spirit nature or realm or personality is creative, it's sensitive, it's nurturing, it's upbuilding, it's encouraging. It's somehow the Holy Spirit has those people who have what I call the spirit nature, they just know what to do at the right time. Their sense of timing is just that. It is a sense. They are very creative. Most musicians, nearly all doctors, healers, I don't want to say actors, but that's not a really good example. But those people who paint, artists, have what I call the spirit nature. They're different. They're really different by the other two natures. So we have in the holy place, we have the personalities of the Godhead, the three personalities, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Adam had all three of those in one nice, neat package before sin came and the fall came. Then when sin came and he disobeyed, then all three of those became corrupt. The Holy Spirit left, and when he did, the other two left. And Adam is left with a shell that looks alive, but it's really not. And that's why Jesus came, to bring us back to the original creation of man in our image. And that's what happens when we're reborn. That's a whole different subject, which is covered here in another audio, the rebirth and that sort of thing. Now, in the holy place, all three pieces of furniture, you'll find in their construction other elements that represent the other two personalities. In other words, in all three are interwoven, like in the golden lampstand, for example, is oil. Well, oil represents the Holy Spirit. You'll find knobs and that sort of thing in the arms. You'll find the number 7. In other words, in each piece, particularly the lampstand, you will find both the Son and the Spirit and the Father interwoven, but predominantly it's the personality of the Son. So it is with Jesus. It says that all the fullness of the God dwelt in him bodily. But at the same time, it says that God, that Jesus said himself, that he considered his Father greater than he was. So that's separate. It's distinguishable. The other word says, all of the Godhead dwelt in him bodily. And that's the case in the holy place. Now, that's to describe three personalities. There's some few other things that I would like to pass on to you. This is a subject, I could go on for days. Over the years, I have noticed of the times that I hear, I feel it. It is my Father in heaven speaking. When I hear with my mind, when a thought will just pop up out of nowhere, I call it popping up out of the blue. Left field, we use the expression sometimes. When I hear something pop up out of the blue, and I know and I check it by matching it with what I know the word says, which is why we've got to know what the word says. Because we can hear all sorts of voices, but if we don't know what the word says, we can't determine whether it's true or not. It may sound like it's good, sound like it's true, but indeed it may not be. That's why you need to know the word. But when I hear something in my conscious mind, I feel it is my Heavenly Father in heaven speaking. When I seem to hear more directly, I feel it is Jesus himself, almost audibly speaking to me. That's not as often. That's not very often. It's almost rare. The third way that I hear things, when I sense something, and I don't have a mental link to it. I just sense something, but I don't know what it is. I haven't mentally wrapped it around something or mentally defined it, then that indeed is a spirit talking. Additionally, and this is just really the last few years, I've also noticed, because of the difference of the three, that there is a different frequency in which I quote hear. You say, well, they're all the same. Well, maybe, maybe not. When I hear Jesus the Son speaking, I see him amongst the myrtle trees. I see him riding a white horse. I see him this, that, and the other. But it is an open, more real connection when the Son is speaking to me. Now, the frequency of that is definitely different than that which I hear with my mind. The frequencies are different. And surely, you must admit that the frequency in which the Spirit speaks is even softer. I would say, probably, knowing what I know about radio frequencies, that the Spirit is the longest wave with the lowest amplitude. Again, as I understand things, all that is manifest, open, visible, audible, felt, is Elohim expressing himself as the Son. Jesus is God revealed. And about this thing about nature, Paul talks in the Romans chapter 1 about the heavens and the planets and the universe, the creation itself, the firmaments. All that is naturally physical, and it is what I feel is God the Son in Jesus revealed. So that's about how I understand the good part of the Godhead, the Elohim. This may, this is the only time I have to say this, and you may not agree, you may not be at the place where it's palatable. But in the Mosaic Tabernacle, again, returning to that image of the tabernacle, the dwelling place of God in the midst of his people, which is how he dwells in us. The Mosaic Tabernacle had three portions within the one tabernacle. It had the outer court, the holy place, and the holy of holies. This I found out as I was teaching some convicts at a halfway house. And that's this. We were talking about realms. I didn't mention the holy of holies, but the outer court is physical. You go into the holy place, that's a different realm, a different dimension. It's one which you leave the altar and the laver, and you go into a different set. It is there that is called the holy place because God dwells there. The outer court is not called holy because God doesn't dwell in the outer court. He dwells in the holy place and in the holy of holies. The holy place is where his personalities are expressed. Not in the outer court. And when you go from the holy place through the veil into the Holy of Holies, there you find the ark, the bema seat, on top of this, which is the lid, and then the cherubim, and then the glory of God, and there it is singular. And when I said that one night at the convicts, that even God expresses himself as three personalities, that he did in Adam, that he does in the heavens. There are three different levels of heavens. But when God himself, when you leave the holy place where the three personalities are expressed, they fuse and become one, indistinguishable. Not separate, distinguishable personalities. Then it is fused into the one Yahweh. And there the glory of God, the Supreme One, the Eternal One, is what the Holy of Holies represents. As I was explaining this, a young man who had been a ranger in South American drug wars back 20, 30, 25 years ago now, just stood up. There were about 14 or 15 convicts in that room. And just a superb young man just had gotten off the track. He got up and just passionately said, "I have been there in the Holy of Holies." And when you go there, you cease to exist. Well, I doubt if many of the convicts understood that. Jesse did. He had been a special op boy in the South American drug wars also, Central American drug wars. But what Michael was saying is that his personality ceased to exist. He then took on the presence of the eternal God himself. In other words, Michael ceased to exist. And that, my friends and my seed, is really confirmed in Scripture when it says, I no longer live, but Christ who lives in me. And he is the eternal one. It says also many times in the New Testament, I die daily. Jesus said, if you will be my disciple, if you would be my disciple, you must deny yourself. And that doesn't mean give up chocolates and Bluebell ice cream. That word means to deny that you even exist as an individual personality. Paul said, you put on Christ. So what Michael was saying is exactly true. When you go into the Holy of Holies, into the very presence of the Eternal One, the singular Yahweh, your personality ceases to exist. I believe that that's possible here on earth, as Michael obviously had already done it. I've talked to other young men. I have not been there. Got a little bit too much baggage for right now, maybe one day. But that certainly is the way that we shall be in heaven when we pass and leave this body behind. We will flow in and out of all three dimensions at will, just as he does. So that, my seed and my listeners, is what I understand about the Godhead and the personalities that he expresses, and how those three personalities are expressed in us, his recreations. Some of us have the Son's personality. Some of us have the Father's personality. Some of us have the Spirit's personality. And we are to be one, just as they are one. They agree with one another because they're in different dimensions. Doesn't make any difference. They are in agreement, as we are to be. So that's it. That's one of my long ones, some 33 minutes. Most of this is expanded in various writings, strongholds, so forth and so on, which hopefully you'll read. Don't claim to have all the answers, but all of what I just told you, I believe is true. At least it's true for me. It satisfied me, and it has brought me much, much joy. Just thought I'd pass it on to you. Godspeed.